Salvation is powerful. It's not just a personal experience, but its power can transform your entire household. Hi, I'm Joy Dabo, founder of God Imprint. As a mom and as a wife, I discovered that God's salvation wasn't just for me. It was for my entire household. At God Imprint, we're here to help you establish a strong Christ-centered home, grounded in intimacy and support and unity. Join us to experience household salvation movement and the joy of a peaceful home in Christ. Good afternoon, good evening. Hi, my name is Joy Dabo, and I am excited to be here today. A little intro different than usual. You may seem like, this is an unusual way of introduction. Yes, indeed. I decided to try something different today. And this different, it has to do with something that I have been meditating on and something that I have experienced in the last 2 weeks that inspired or motivated me to do something different in this episode. I have been awakened and I have been challenged this few weeks. And in these weeks, one of the things that challenged me is one of my close friend posted a message about a loved one in her family who lost their life to suicide. And not too long ago, I got to experience as well in my family something of such as well, a young adult. And in both of these cases were young adult who experienced this tragic experience that don't get a second chance to determine or define a redo, a remake over, or a moment of forgiveness or apologize, or even, I should say, a moment of, I regret that I did that. It got me thinking about the moment that I experienced postpartum depression. So today's message podcast is to you, or to the one, or maybe you that is listening, you know somebody who's going through a lowest moment and that you can share this message with them to encourage them and to uplift that through my testimony, through my story. And my hope with this podcast is to encourage you to not give up on faith. Is one of my message that you hear a lot of my podcast. I end with stay encouraged. Don't give up on your faith. I say that a lot, but I want you to understand today where I come from. Why is that important to me to say that either at the end of my podcast or in my podcast? Why is so important to speak about faith, to ignite a faith, to strengthen our faith, to remain in faith? Why I speak so much about faith, Joy? It's because I am alive today because of faith. I am here today. You can hear my voice today because of faith. In the previous podcast, I had done an interview before with one of my aunties, and we talk about the power of the church and the importance of the church. It's, for me, the church became a place of of refuge and a place where I anchored myself because of, if you have not heard the story, I encourage you to go listen to the podcast when I did the interview with the Reverend Dr. Kabamba on the importance of the church. It's because from way beginning, my dad engraved in me through his wisdom the importance of church with this statement, joy, wherever you go, find a church and seek God. You see, for me, church never been associated with community, with people, but church has been, for me, a place that is associated with God. You're probably going to say, but yeah, duh, that's why we go there to worship God. But I want you to hear me out. That church as a place, church as a location, church as a way of life becomes that important to one when you understand why it exists, first of all. We live in a time and society where this language, I believe, meant well, but I'm coming more and more to believe or to see as a destructive more than instruction and then a builder, if I should say. The church is the people and not the building. I believe that's not a true statement, because I believe the church is both the building and the people. What about the people who don't have the building? Then they don't have the building right there. They steal the church and they hope to find a location and a place they can call home. Because if you remember, God in the Old Testament was God who communicated only with the one who was one who's worthy. There you go. One who's worthy. One who has been through the place of God says, this is the one that I want to talk to on earth. That's why we see God walking with Abraham, Isaac, and then individually, God walked with individuals, Moses. And it was from a place where he was walking with Moses, and Moses have to climb the mountain, I don't know how often, weekly, daily, to communicate with God and then bring the message back to God. The God who is omnipotent, omnipresent, the God who is all-knowing, decided to instruct his people that there was a need to build a tabernacle. And from building a tabernacle to all the way to walking with the Ark of the Covenant wherever they go as a symbol and as a sign of his presence with the people. Then we go to David, King David, who wanted to build this house of God. And the Lord Yahweh shows up into the place, meeting with David, and say, David, I get that you want to build a house for me, but all this while I've been traveling with my people, I'm good. Your hand is basically infected with blood. Because David was a man of war. He wore so much that God says, your hands are not clean for you to build me a house, but a son of yours, King Solomon, will be the one who will build my house. Just on the basis of that, A church is a house of God, is a physical element, is a symbol, is a physical element or symbol that we have here on earth to give us a visual idea or understanding of what a house of God should be. If we are going to say that the church is the people, but and then the people are not sanctifying themselves as well, then there is no church. It requires us to hold us in a way that I believe creating a pressure that is false to call us human being as the only thing that represent the church, as the presence of the people to be the only thing that is called church. Consequently, people who feels unwelcomed in a community, people who feels outcast, broken inside, tormented in the mind, cannot see themselves worthy of being called a church. And if one does not feel worthy of being called a church, they are automatically feeling excluded to meet the divine, their creator, their healer, in the place of where a community makes them feel excluded. If suicide is growing, numerous, I want to challenge us to come to a place to open then this space call or this conversation or this statement of the church being the people. Because if the people are not, quote unquote, worthy of being the temple, then God, who they worship in that space, is not the true God either. But if we can see as the church being the building, the people coming into the house of God, coming to worship, it will also give us a different way of how we see ourselves as a community. Because it will mean that when we go to church on Sunday, we all are guests. We all are guests, and the host is Heavenly Father, is Yahweh. The host or the owner of the house is not the pastor, but the one who gave his life that those who come in may receive life in return and life in abundance. If we can see and begin to reflect on this statement as the church is the building and the people with God, then it sets us apart as a people, as a belief system compared to other religion and other whatever is in existence, a form of worship that exists out there. It will set apart. It will mean that when we enter the house of God, we enter the house of God as individual, but we leave as a community. Because when we enter, there's a song in my that I learned from when I was younger, and it was a song that I learned, interesting enough, right before my mother passed. And it says, "Je n'ai jamais vu un homme qui passe près de la croix et resté le même." The translation is this: I've never seen a man who passes, or a woman who passes by the cross, or who cross over or near the cross and remain the same. When I experienced postpartum depression, I did not know what it was, but it was this message of my father who said, "Joy, wherever you go, find a church." That for years, wherever I was determined to find a church, because I had developed and believed that this is where I will find God. And the God who is Yahweh, I am that I am, will show up. Regardless of who preached that day, regardless of who led the choir that day, but the way that I entered the house of God was to encounter Him who is the owner of that house. And it began to develop a lifestyle that Sunday for me became a Sabbath, not because I don't want to do anything, but because I knew this is my day that I worship and the day that I give my Heavenly Father, my God, His attention. This is the one day of the week that I give Him His full attention. And then when I encountered the first time scripture, and it developed my faith, my relationship with God, because faith is what basically define your relationship with God. If you do not have faith, you don't have a relationship with God. And in the process, I woke up one morning and I asked my husband, "What day is today?" And he told me. And I was bothered by the fact that I couldn't remember or didn't know what day it was. I knew that I was a woman who was very sharp, who was determined, who was strong in the mind, and who was very strong in the faith in the Lord in prayer. To wake up days after days after days, not remembering and feeling disoriented, confused, and anxious, I knew something was not right. But and then it was something that was coming in the waves, right? One minute you're okay, you're happy, everything is good, and the next minute you're just lashing, upset. And statistics says 1 in 7 women, newly mother, experience postpartum depression. I was one of that 1 in 7. Did I say 1 in 7? That's a very low number. And because it's a very low number, it also can be missed and can be quickly forgotten to care for it. The same thing for anyone who experiences a trauma or a moment where the mind is attacked. It may not always come as a I know what this is and I need to figure it out what it is. It's one of those low numbers. One in, I don't know what is your number. Maybe you are two in, I don't know what's number. Because I don't know your condition. But I know this much. When the mind is attacked, it's because at some point the enemy have found a way to exclude people in the very place that they can be feeling included. And right now, suicide being the topic right now in our communities, rising, especially among young adults, is something to think about. What have we excluded them from? I thank God, as I said, for my journey with the church. You may say, George, Joy, you never had church hurt, so you don't know. You don't know. I've experienced church hurt. And I remember as I was going through postpartum depression, entering the church and wondering and feeling unseen and feeling not having enough courage to talk with the pastor because everybody was busy. Everybody's busy with the schedule. Everybody's busy with the program. There's a next activity to go. But I want to tell you, even if you're a pastor listening to this message right now, there's at least one woman in your congregation who's coming, whose mind is on the end. There is at least one young adult coming in the sanctuary every single week who needs you. And you're going to say, Joy, but how would I know? How would I know? How would you know? Is listen to the people. Hear their cry. Crying of God in his own house. You as the shepherd. He will show you. Be attentive to the people that enter. Because as the leader of your house, can you as a shepherd identify the cry of the broken in your community? Do you know the cry of the broken in your community? The church is the house of God. And God says, I am he that healeth you. I am he who will make a way when there's no way. This is a time we don't need just hope. Message of hope, message of pumping us emotional. Even the scripture itself says, do not trust the heart because the heart is deceitful. So the heart that we are trying to emotionally pump up and motivate and say, hey, listen, putting some pumping music that motivate us and awaken the heart. But and then the mind is broken. I don't know how to express this in depth or in a more motivational way for somebody to get it. But I'm hoping and I'm believing that if you got to this far listening to this podcast, it's because there's something for you. And that God is calling you to go back to the church. Let's go back to the church. But Joy, this is the place where people hurt me and I don't know if I can go back. Let's pray about it. The church is not the people. The church is the house of God. And the house of God, God is the host and we are the guest. And as the guest, let me go to this passage quickly for you to hold on to it. Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offering. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. We will shout for joy when you are victorious, and we'll lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. This is a really good scripture that I believe depict of what the church is. It's a place where we find help from God. It is the place where we are heard. It is the place where God gives us the victory. It is the place where our sacrifices, meaning showing up. It's not always easy to show up weekly in the church. The morning I remember where I woke up, I was feeling bombarded in the mind, as though sometimes felt like just cutting off the top of the head and removing the brain because it was so bombarded and I couldn't focus. But then I had to press and persevere to show up in the church, even when I knew I didn't feel the connection. I didn't feel the help that I needed in that community. I still show up. I was like, God, until you show me where is my next, where is the house where you want me to go and serve you and worship, I will remain here until then. You see, when you build your faith, your faith is in God, not in the pastor. When you seek God, when you trust God, in the moment like that, I will not say it was joy's own strength, but like what Romans 8 says, in our weakness, when you have been walking with God, for a while, what happened is that in your weakness time, Holy Spirit come and lift you up, encourage you to continue to persevere, and you will find the help that you need. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is this. May we see the church as the house of God. The building is the house of God. May we care for it, knowing that it is the house of God, not because we are paid or not because we have a salary, but because it is the house of God. And us as the people, we are exactly the guest. And the host is willing in his house to heal those who need healing, to restore those who want restoration, to be closer to him for those who want that. I pray, my friend, that you take a moment this week to go in the house of God. No matter who shows up at the front door, no matter who is at the reception desk, no matter what they say, be like Hannah. Hannah refused to be ridiculed. Hannah refused to accept the critics of Eli, who was the priest at the time, and still went forth to the altar and cry out to the Lord for herself. Go in the house of God. Pray, cry out to God. There your answer is. Yes, we do have counselor. I did see my counselor, a Christian counselor who guided me through the toughest time. But I still went to church. And I found my help. If you need medication, you're taking medication, take medication. But put your trust in the Lord. Seek Him. Go into the sanctuary and cry out to Him. If you are a mother with young people, cry out to God in the sanctuary on their behalf. Don't justify their behavior and say they're young adults now and that they can to decide whatever they want to decide. No. Go in the sanctuary and cry out on their behalf. I pray and I hope that in this season, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a mom, whether you're a daughter, whether you are the young adult, whether you are the one who's experiencing this battle in the mind, I want to encourage you, push through and get in the house of God, for there is help. For the church is the building and the people with their God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this breath to be alive today. Seems like a most precious thing ever. For the one who's listening right now, who maybe was contemplating to end their life because life has become very hard. Maybe this is a mom dealing with situations that are beyond them. A father who struggled, my God, to overcome the thoughts of the past, unable to forgive themselves. Maybe a young man or a young woman feeling shame, scared, afraid that if somebody find out what I do, what I did, who I really am, it's just gonna be horrible. And they listen every day to the enemy whispering the shame, the guilt, the condemnation in their mind. Lord, this prayer is for this person. For the pastor who has been ministering every single day, every single week, my God. But and then deep inside of them, my God, the enemy have taken a hold of their mind. My Lord, I pray for your power, for your authority that knows, and for even for your love that knows no boundaries, my God. that this earth is yours and everything in it, Lord. My God, may this podcast be the place that turn things for them, my God. May this podcast be the place, my God, that heal, that usher that light in their heart. And they say no. No to the voice of the defeat. No to the voice of the liar. No to the voice of condemnation. For you said in Christ there are no condemnation. My God, may this podcast usher them to new life. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray right now. May your Spirit guide them into your house, where, my God, they meet you at the altar. And there, Father, they pour out just like Hannah and give and surrender this very thought. Surrender their mind, surrender the trauma, surrender the past, surrender this unforgiveness, surrendering it, and allow your grace, your love, your breath to restore them back to life. I pray for the families that are mourning right now. May your holy comforting spirit comfort those that are mourning right now because of those who took their lives. Comfort your people, my Lord. Comfort your people. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. That's it, my sister, my brothers, my friend. It is at the end of our podcast today, and I pray that you share this message. It will allow me to know that this message touched somebody, impacted somebody by you sharing. Let not allow this spirit of suicide or of hurt to continue, but let us encourage one another. Take time to show love. Take time to smile and remember, keep and stay in faith. God bless you. Take care. Until next time, stay in faith. Bye-bye for now.